Michelle Malone embodies the rock and roll ethos. She's lived the punk rock lifestyle. She sings the blues with raw honesty, and her songs can tap into the sublime. In short, Michelle Malone is a Southern storyteller. We're listening to a track called Vivian Vegas from Michelle Malone's 2015 album Stronger Than You Think. She's getting ready to record her next studio album, and Lois Reitzes spoke with the Georgia Music Award winner earlier this week.
Michelle Malone, welcome to City Lights.
Thank you so much.
I read that you are self-taught as a musician.
I'm a guitarist. Predominantly. So my brother had a guitar in his closet that he absolutely told me not to touch. And of course, I had to then at that point. And I eventually became the guitarist in the house.
When did you pick up the guitar and decide to go for it?
Well, maybe when I was 11, I found it in his closet and it went from there. But he's older,
I take it.
Yes. And when I was younger, I got to be in the little band in elementary school, and they allow you, I think when you're maybe in third or fourth grade, choose an instrument if you want to be in band. So I did that. And so I had played saxophone for a couple of years before
How
I found
cool.
the guitar, yeah. So it's just, I look at it as the family business. So I just fell into it kind of naturally, you know.
How does church music affect your sound today?
That's a very interesting question. I think that's hard for me to put a finger on. It's in there, but I also heard jazz and blues and rock music and folk music and Puccini and Mozart and just everything you can think of in my house, because my grandmother also was in music theater and my mother sang professionally in around town. She would drag us to her voice lessons as well, and I would hear her sing Mozart. And I got a well-rounded musical education at a very young age, you know.
That's
so
right.
I have a great appreciation for all of it.
So your style and your sound is informed by many different influences, it seems.
I would have to say it's informed by all music that came out before 1980.
What happened after 1980?
I just already found everything I loved and connected to it and ate it up, you know. I took it in and I started playing guitar and it just kind of, you know, molded how I approached music. And, you know, when you're young, I think you develop an idea of what you like and you may add to it later, but I think predominantly, you know, my clay was starting to be fairly molded at that point. I haven't changed that much since I was a kid, frankly, so I'm a little wiser.
You had a record deal with Clive Davis.
You know, I did. That was interesting.
Why did you decide to go independent? This was back when no one returned to independent.
It wasn't right for me. And I think it goes back to the fact that I am pretty much the best Michelle Malone I know, and that I know myself, I know what I want, what I'm capable of doing, and what makes me happy. And I want to do things that make me happy. I want to work with people that I'm comfortable with. I want to be able to look myself in the mirror and know, yes, I like this person. This person is good. This person is honest. And that, you know, I had to make some changes in my life. I've had to make a lot of changes in my life because I need to be able to look in the mirror and like that person.
Is that why you stayed in Atlanta, or why you decided to? It seems like Nashville would be a logical place for you.
You'd think, wouldn't you? I lived there for about 5 minutes. And the Nashville music scene is very different from the Atlanta music scene or the Georgia music scene. And I like to think we're a little more easygoing, a little more focused on maybe community and music for the sake of building community and bringing joy, as opposed to, you know, getting money in the bank and putting up awards on your shelves. And that sounds harsh, and that was just my personal experience when I was there for the 5 minutes that I was there, you know. And it's just not for me, much like being on Arista Records wasn't for me at the time. And again, you have to take into account time. When I was on Arista, I was about 21, 22, and I really was not ready for it. Mm-hmm. And by the time I went to Nashville, I already knew what made me tick, what made me comfortable, and who I was. And I was willing to give it a shot. I wanted to go give it a try. And I do have a lot of good friends there. There's great people there, great talent there, and great opportunity. But it just wasn't for me.
And I guess not commercially motivated first and foremost.
We don't want to just tell everybody that, but
no, we won't.
I do love to pay my bills. I love that part. But my mother and I have decided we are what we call blue collar musicians, and we basically take pride in that at this point. You know, I always said, even when I started playing music, when I first started doing interviews on Arista Records, people would ask me what my goals were, and really they were and still are to have a long career. I never said, oh, I want to hit, I want to make $1 million, I want to be rich and famous. It was, I want a long career. So I guess I'm doing that. Sure feels like it.
And adhering to your own values.
Yeah, it's a Malone thing, I believe. We're very stubborn. It's a Taurus thing and a Malone thing and a Southern thing.
Speaking of Southerners, the state of Georgia has done a good job attracting film industry. Mm-hmm. Do you think Georgia has supported musicians enough?
I can't answer that per se from a knowledgeable place, but I can say I have felt very supported, which is a huge part of why I am still in Georgia. I feel very connected to the dirt under my feet here and the trees that I look up and see. But I'm very connected to the music scene and Georgia Music Partners and all the music programs here. You know, we do a lot for music in schools. We do a lot for each other. And Georgia is very supportive of all those things that I'm aware of. And I'm a huge proponent of Georgia music. And I'm getting ready to start a new record. I'm getting ready to start recording a new record. And one of the things I wanted to do is write with other Georgia musicians so that not only could I see, you know, what kind of changes it might create for my writing, but also to kind of show off what great talent we have here.
Yeah, tell us about that upcoming album.
Well, I am going to be trying something slightly different in that I'm taking in a few musicians who I've not worked with before and to a studio I've not recorded a record in before. And my songs are mostly finished, but I have this feeling I just want to go in and have it come out in a real honest kind of raw way, which I've done before in the past, but it's been a very long time. So I'm going to go in and try to make it more about the feel of the music. I just want it to feel good. And it will be based in the same genres I've been in, you know, for the past 30 years. It'll be folk and rock and blues influences. And that's really all I can tell you. I wish I knew more, but I don't. I go in next week, and I'm just going to let it happen.
Do you try out your songs, the songs you want to record? Do you try out in those songs in your concerts? You have some upcoming shows.
I try them out occasionally. I have a few that are completely finished that I've been playing that they feel great. I love them. And then the rest of them, like I said, they're not quite finished, and I'm purposefully trying to leave them that way so we can all get in there and just feel it out and let it organically come together.
Michelle Malone, I've really enjoyed talking with you, and thank you for coming in.
No, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it as well. Just give me back my favorite T-shirt.
You can catch Michelle Malone in concert tomorrow night at Eddie's Attic and at City Winery with her old band Drag the River on September 30th.